I'm not going to name names here, but anyone who's in the startup world has worked in a million co-working spaces, and you all have the same exact problem. When the most important time, the phones go down, the Wi-Fi goes down, something goes down, tech is down, and of course they have no IT person, or they're not there, or whatever the case is. I've always wanted to know who takes care of those problems and how do they get fixed quickly when they are fixed quickly. And more importantly, as a person who is looking to grow my company and grow into new spaces, I want to know what exactly needs to go into a space to make it a tech company usable space. So Imagit founder and CEO Brian Gardner is here to join me and kind of tell me a little bit about who I have to blame on the Wi-Fi down at our co-working space situation, but also as we grow, who is someone, maybe it's you, who sends someone in to make sure that our unit is ready to rock and roll when we set up shop.
Wait a minute, turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune, he talking bigger business, he make a lot of moves.
Without further ado, I want to welcome you, but also learn a little bit about what Imagit does first, and then let's talk about some of the problems that I've got.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
So we do multi-site hardware projects and break-fix support, usually around the networking practice. So we're the guys that roll trucks in the field. So we're essentially the guys that are actually physically fixing things out in the field, Wi-Fi, networking issues, copiers, things like that. And then we're doing the large projects where we're actually building out these spaces for our customers. And it's mostly multi-site customers in multiple markets across North America or Western Europe.
Can you give examples of some of the customers? Is that something you can publicly say? Or
Well, one of them is Regis.
Okay.
I can mention them because they're okay with that. So we support 1,200 locations for Regis. We support every location they have in North America.
I'll have you know I've never had a Wi-Fi problem at a Regis.
Yep.
So you guys are doing a good job from there.
If there is a problem, it's before we supported them.
Naturally, of course. Yeah. Buck stops with somebody else. So for those listening who have these issues all the time, who do I have? Like, let's assume that you're not the person running some of the spaces we're working at. Who should I look for to get help? Because what happens for most of us who work in co-working spaces is you end up going to the girl or guy who's working at the front desk. You complain. They go, we're going to call the building super or something, or our IT person who's never there ever. I've never seen her met, and it just the Wi-Fi's gone for the whole day. Like, there's no solution. Like, what should we be asking of the places we work to say to make sure that they have an infrastructure in place that you guys do to make sure that when the Wi-Fi drops that someone is able to come and fix it or is at least accountable for it?
So it's really all about the first line of defense and who's supporting that, right? So that's your help desk somewhere, whether it's an internal help desk or an outsource help desk. And really what I would say is the requirement for that is having someone that's got a really good SLA and is dispatching a company like ours if an on-site, smart hands are needed to actually repair the issue. We can do it start to finish, but a lot of times because our main focus is in the field, companies will have their own employees that are doing the help desk support and then calling us out afterwards.
Yeah, well, it's too many things to manage, I think, especially if you think of, like, I'll use WeWork as an example. They're growing so fast, it would be virtually impossible. I mean, I think we'd be lucky if they had an on-site IT person in Chicago to manage the many locations they have in Chicago alone, let alone every location. I just think it's kind of unreasonable to expect that a group that big, growing that fast, would have a person in every place. So it makes sense to me that they have kind of a mission control who then gets you out on the ground to fix it. The next question, the burning question I have for you, for all of the different audience listeners who are planning to expand their space or grow into their own space, what are the things we need to know as tech companies that we need to have either the space has to have available or that we need to have implemented into the space that you guys could do?
Well, I would say one thing to a lot of people are getting away from hardwired Ethernet. So I would say one thing to try to make sure the space still has is hardwired Ethernet, because Wi-Fi is great, but it's still not perfect. And we've seen issues where we've had to shut down another wireless network because it was intruding on a wireless network. So yeah. One thing I would say is make sure that that there's actually hardwired data connections if need be, and make sure it's got the right bandwidth. I mean, bandwidth is important as well. Make sure that there's symmetrical bandwidth, that it's actually business class internet. And
talk a little bit more about the bandwidth thing, because that's a legitimate problem and question that a lot of us have, especially as we get in kind of the next, we call it Internet 2.0 with blockchain. It requires a lot to be able to use. And for us, we stream video and things like that. It requires a ton. And so most spaces that say we have high Wi-Fi, great everything, whatever. It's like, it doesn't work. Like, it's just not sufficient for the kind of use cases that a lot of the new tech companies are using. So what is good bandwidth versus not so good bandwidth?
Well, so first, most people are really focused on download speeds. So that's what everyone advertises, right? They'll say, you know, we've got, you know, a 200 meg connection, but that's download. So you don't know what their upload speed is. Yeah. If they've got symmetrical business class internet, they should have symmetrical upload and download. And that's really important. And then also to the gear. So a lot of wireless technology only allows a throughput of so many megs per second.
Yeah.
And so making sure that they have the right networking gear, they have, you know, updated switches and updated access points, and they can do gig throughout, you know, is really important.
Let's say we're building out, I'm just making this up off the top of my head, call it 10,000 square feet. It doesn't matter the space size necessarily, although I just assume you know this stuff well enough that that's like...
Well, I used to be a tech, so now I'm just running the thing, but well, I still know some of it.
You'll know the general gist. If you need to adjust the size of the space to answer the question, then by all means do. What would it cost for me to go into a new space, call it 10,000 plus square feet, that needs to be, you know, the Wi-Fi and everything needs to be good to stream and all that kind of stuff? Like, what is a cost for something like that even look like?
So people are really getting away from a lot of the on-premise management, and they're doing more cloud-based wireless solutions like your Meraki's.
Yep.
And so the hardware isn't that expensive with the Meraki's. Something like that. I mean, really, structured cabling is always the biggest cost with any wireless deployment. So 10,000 square feet, you'd probably have, I don't know, 10 to 15 access points. You're not going to spend more than... you know, $400 or $500 an access point. It's really the cabling.
Yeah.
So maybe the whole build out's going to be, you know, 10, 15 grand, but then you're paying the licensing as well to have that cloud based management. And people like it because for multi site, it's great. Sometimes people have it when they don't really need it, and then they could use on premise LAN controllers. But
do people normally look at that and expect that from the property management company or the space itself? Or is that something that usually when you go in, you take a space and that's on you?
Most people forget about it.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of calls kind of in the 11th hour where, oh, shoot, we forgot to, you know, we forgot to bring, you know, power into where the rack's going to be, or we forgot to, you know, we forgot about the Wi-Fi, you know. So a lot of times it's forgotten, and then they kind of forget about the property management and just get on the gun and figure it out.
I was going to say, like, do you know offhand, like, is that something that people for audience listeners who are looking to take spaces, I mean, they should obviously ask.
Well, they should negotiate it into the lease.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times the landlords will pay for it. Because they're supposed to get it up to par for you know, connectivity.
Well, because I mean, at the end of the day, when you talk about a build out or whatever the space, like you're providing me the space that's useful for my need.
Yep.
And if you're not providing me a space that's not useful for my need, then it's not the space for me.
Absolutely.
So we'll go somewhere else. I mean, it's not that hard to find someone with Wi-Fi. The question is whether it's good Wi-Fi, it's reliable, and do they have contacts with people like you who can come in and make sure that stuff doesn't fall apart.
And that's the other thing, too, that a lot of people forget, too, is when there is a build-out required for real business-class internet, sometimes it takes months to actually bring the fiber into the building. And so a lot of times people are building out the space and getting ready to move in, choosing their furniture and everything, and then they go to order the internet connection, and they're being told it's going to be a 3-month lead time. And that happens all the time.
What do you even do in that case?
You bring in temporary internet. So 4G, you bring in cable, you know, you load balance a bunch of different things.
And that is not cheap.
Yeah, and it's not fast either. It's brutal.
Oh my God. Yeah, that would be not so good. I hope our guys are taking notes on this, because that would be a serious problem. I guess, you know, there's no doubt that this is a very exciting and fast moving space. How did you get into this? What drew you to IT in general?
Well, let's see. I was mowing lawns and caddying. I was 14 when I started the company, so there weren't too many worlds I was in. But I loved building computers, and people just started asking me to build computers for them because they saw the machines that I'd build, and I was caddying at a private golf course, and doctors would say, hey,
I got to ask?
Butler National.
That's my course! That's my course!
You golf there?
I've golfed there many times. I love Butler.
I love it. It's a beautiful course.
Yeah, how do you beat Butler? That's ridiculous.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so then you
know
what's
going on. People from Medina would...
That's a joke. That people from Medina, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but first off, that clubhouse looks like it's from 1977. All right, I know they're doing upgrades. That's totally ridiculous. They got all these three courses. One is good. The other two are... Butler kicks the shit out of Medina all day long.
I love golfing there on Mondays.
That's just
great.
That's my opinion. But you know, it's funny you mentioned this with the IT piece. The number of kids that I remember from high school who are now in IT, who are the ones that, like, the first person to burn a CD,
yeah,
IT. yep. person who was the first guy that you ever asked for like any sort of like how to hook up the Mac, works in IT still.
Yep.
It's like IT, the people find them and then they find IT.
Yep.
Like it's just one of those things from the very beginning, you're like the first one with the creative idea of like, kind of want to get into building computers. And then you're by default the only one who knows the answers. And so people start flocking to you. And before long, you start your own business.
Well, I actually was fighting it too. I opened up a car audio shop because that was always my passion. And yeah. people just kept knocking on my door to build computers for them. So finally, I'm like, okay, I'll give up on this and actually do what's making me money. And people are kind of beating me down for.
Well, putting everything all together in full circle for this, we're going to wrap up the Butler, starting up the your own company, and then sort of the tech and one-off business owner. Did you know, have you ever heard of this, that maybe you were part of this or knew the guys when they were there, but there's an app that was started by a bunch of caddies out of Butler. It's called, I want to say it's called a green app or the green carpet or green something, whatever. And the gist is essentially if you drink too much during your round, they'll VIP, come get your car, take you home and have someone drive behind you to park your car in your house. And it was started at Butler.
That's
it's
amazing.
Like only private country clubs now throughout. I think they're in like 7 or 8 cities now. They have this. It's you download the app. If you put in your member ID so that they know you're part of the country club, that whatever it is, and they literally ring them. And if, it's not cheap, but like the guys who go to these country clubs can afford it.
Yeah.
And they show up. They pick you up, pick your car up, drop you over at home, park your car, and go home.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. And a client that I'll actually send this to will laugh when he hears this. But I was out with a client one night, and he was so drunk, and he had his car that I called an Uber and asked the Uber to pick up another Uber driver that he was friends with, and because I just kept calling until I got an Uber that would agree to this, and came, and they drove together, grabbed his car, drove his car back, and we stayed out, and then he took an Uber home later. So
that is concierge
little variation
service.
Yeah,
that's how you win and retain business.
Yes, it is.
Very cool, Brian. This has been a good conversation. Where do people go to learn more about Imagit and sort of use your services?
Imagit.com or any social media.
Very cool. And it's imagit.com, correct?
That's correct.
Boom, there you go. Thank you very much for taking the time to come in.
Thank you.
Of course, you can catch this episode and more at technoria.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technoria. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.